Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back her vineyards, and which will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will respond as in the days of her youth, as in the days she came up out of Egypt. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. I will remove the names of the Baals from her lips. No longer will their names be invoked. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, the birds in the sky, and the creatures that move along the ground. Bow and sword and battle I will abolish from the land, so that all may lie down in safety. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord. In that day I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the skies, and they will respond to the earth. And the earth will respond to the grain, the new wine, and the olive oil. And they will respond to Jezreel. I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. And I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my Lord.
Those who know me know that I've been at this church since June. And if you've heard me speak before, you know that I can only be myself. There is nothing hidden. There's no words that come out of me that generally don't have a whole heart behind them. And in that, I have to be honest, remembrance has always been slightly detached for me. I want it to be simple, but it has so many complex thoughts and emotions attached. I understand it in my head, and I fully believe that we should remember the sacrifice of the fallen and injured people whose legacy has shaped the 20th and 21st centuries. However, I've often been stuck thinking that we seem to remember a partial few. And would I feel different if, lest we forget, meant those regiments of black and brown soldiers who looked different but still fought in the world wars? Or if, lest we forget, meant the women of the land army who fed a nation at risk of starvation? Or if, lest we forget, meant the civilians, adults and children, far too many, who are always collateral damage in conflict and war? Others will point to me and say, lest we forget those animals who died in service, victims with no choice but to be involved. And still there will be groups I do not immediately remember. But you can tell me about them at the end of the service. In recent years, different poppies have signified remembrance of these groups within the wider remembrance season. I wear a black rose to remember black people who are part of the remembrance celebration. There is the white poppy for peace, and there is a purple paw which remembers those animals. Sometimes people worry about different poppies or things coming into the season, but they're all part of us remembering those from our community who suffered or were suffering, and those around the world who war impacts now. On the memorial behind us, the two boards here, you will see names from our community. Ordinary people who were going about their everyday lives. I've been told there are civilian women who were teachers at Sandhurst School who lost their lives in a bombing, and a doctor from Lewisham Hospital. But you'll also see those who were fighting in those wars, either by choice or through conscription. And at the end of the service, if you've got time, take a moment to read those names. And also, we have to thank David Britton, who's part of the choir here, for all the work he put into finding the stories of these people. There's a book on the rail here with names and stories of people who lost their lives, their cause, and all there that they are. Yet, on those memorial boards, we still tell the stories of mainly people of the parish who fought in the armed forces. We lose some of the stories of those who were bereaved, those who were left homeless, those who were bombed, and those soldiers who were medically discharged and lived their life with life-changing injuries. So lest we forget that war and conflict are messy, brutal, and challenging, even if you survive with your life, you will be changed immeasurably. By contrast, from those hidden in remembrance, when we think about what's happening in Israel-Palestine, we're acutely aware of the impact on women, children, on the loss of hospitals, schools, and homes, of the life-changing injuries and the people that are displaced. It's overwhelming to see the impact of war. And that's why I think collectively as a country and as people, we are struggling to cope with the scenes, and we cannot forget the tragedies that are unfolding before us. And we're unable to see how in the future we'll cope with the possible outcomes that are talked about endlessly in the news. Grief and loss are here now for everyone. And it is uncomfortable for us, but oh so much worse for those involved and connected intimately. As I was struggling with all of this, I remembered our Bible passage, the Valley of Achor, which means trouble, affliction, taboo, a cursed place, a problem. Is from the book of Joshua. It had been the site of suffering and destruction. A whole family had been, and its possessions had been destroyed there, and for reprisal for disobeying God. This place was cursed. And this was a place of violence done in God's name. Something is really hard for me to square with the loving God I've come to know as part of my faith journey. I chose this passage because hope is given to the people through this place. Some of the writing may be confusing because it's a particular type of writing. It's a bit like poetry, and sometimes poems don't mean what they appears to be on the surface. But it speaks of a place of suffering and pain where you might question God and say why, where it's been hard to understand the need for devastation. Yet the Valley of Achor will become a door of hope. Achor will become a door of hope. What is the hope they speak of? Well, the people in the time were under threat from a powerful empire who wants to wipe them out. And God says, through the prophet, that the place of trouble can become something that restores you to right relationship. The passage is about the fruit of being pulled close to God. And that is our hope. In the New Testament, we see the same idea, but instead of a place of suffering being transformed into a place of hope, where people of that place will be pulled closer to God, we see a person who suffers and is persecuted, raised from the utter destruction of death to become the hope for all people. That person is Jesus. And in explaining his own death, he said in John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Some of us might find Remembrance Sunday difficult, and some will be finding it hard with the conflict in Israel-Palestine. But what I'm holding on to is this passage from the Bible that says suffering can be transformed, turned around, or redeemed by God into something new, and we remember and hope to be called closer to God so that we can become more determined to secure a doorway to peace as a lasting memorial to those who die in war.